News Talk Breakfast, in association with AIR, supporting your business on our mobile network right across Ireland.
New figures from myhome.ie suggesting the Help to Buy scheme for first-time buyers has had a major impact on the rising prices of houses in the country. It says the cost of newly listed properties rose nationally by almost 9% in the last year. Now, some suggestions coming from government and the Housing Minister, Owen Murphy, that the Help to Buy scheme will be scrapped. We're joined on the line for more on this by Fianna Fáil's housing spokesperson, Barry Cowan. Barry Cowan, do you think this first-time buyers grant should be scrapped, as Owen Murphy has suggested?
Well, it appears to be almost inevitable at this stage, because it is obviously having the effect that we had feared it would. It was very surprising and shocking to think that the government at the time brought in this scheme without having an impact assessment carried out to ascertain if our fears would be realised. And also, in the absence of supply measures, it was inevitable that this would send prices north. It has done that. Demand has increased and supply has waned and hasn't been able to match that demand. And while that scenario exists, house prices go up, homelessness figures go up, local authorities are not meeting the expectations that government had, because the implementation of the plan they put in place doesn't have the sort of urgency that is required in order to address this unfortunate crisis and emergency that we now have and have had for the last 2 to 3 years.
Okay, I just remind listeners, did Fianna Fáil oppose this at the time, or you were kind of neutral about it, were you?
No, what I said, to be honest, it would have been fine, first of all, if an impact assessment had been carried out, and secondly, if it was allied and parallel to supply measures. Both it and the new deposit retention scheme had potential to help and assist the housing sector.
That sounds a little bit like having your cake and eat it.
No, it's not, to be honest. It's not. I specifically said, and you can check the record, that you had to look at the cost of construction. You had to look for the development and the construction sector had to look at extracting their profits from reduced cost of construction rather than extracting their profits at the top of the market, which is increased house prices. And that was what was going to happen if you had this this demand measure brought in on its own, and that's what has happened, and that's what we predicted. We said if it was fine if you had supply measures there, if you had looked at VAT holidays, if you had looked at planning and development fees, if you had looked at new certification system and costs, if you had looked at competitive finance for the sector and for infrastructure development, where the private sector and credit unions could input into that.
Given that you feel like that, should you not have vetoed it? Because I think you probably had the power to veto that.
No, but you know, the agreement we have with Fine Gael in allowing a government to be in place in relation to this issue was to prioritise the housing provision, to prioritise the homelessness situation, to prioritise means and methods and implement initiatives and policy that would address it. We didn't ask for any specific areas, but we wanted it addressed and prioritised. An implementation plan was put in place. There was a good constructive negotiation and consultation with the sector. There was an all-party Dáil Committee.
But this was a specific budgetary measure. You didn't have to vote for it.
No, what I have said, Shane, in this area, that the government needs to show more urgency. And, for example, in relation to helping assisting the sector and helping assist the rental sector, we don't have to wait and shouldn't have to wait for a budget in order to implement initiatives and plans and policy that will address this situation.
No,
we can have emergency legislation and we can allow these measures to be done as soon as possible rather than waiting for a budget, for example, to address these issues in relation to VAT, to address these issues in relation to initiatives for the landlords to help and assist in order that they can make more properties available and to help and assist and put a competitive finance model vehicle in place to allow the sector to draw down from it.
Okay, I'm just reading quotes from Conall McQuillan, the chief economist at the stockbroker Davy, in the Ireland edition of The Times today. He's making the point now that he's saying there's a danger if you actually get rid of the Help to Buy scheme now, which looks likely to happen. He's saying it could lead to a rush of transactions this year as first-time buyers move quickly to avail of the scheme and to a slowdown in 2018 as it's phased out. There's a danger now that we're kind of stuck with this.
Well, it's back to the point that I made, that introducing those demand measures in isolation had the threat of doing what it has done in the absence of putting supply initiatives in place too. And what I'm saying is that they have to listen to me and to others more professional and more qualified than I in this regard, that they have to bring forward supply measures if they hope to rebalance the demand and supply.
See, part. That's very logical, absolutely logical. But the question I have to put to you again is, a first-year economics student would have realised that this Help to Buy scheme was a bad idea because, as you quite rightly point out, it was doing nothing to help supply and it was increasing demand. So it's only adding to a lopsided market. Why didn't you veto it in Fianna Fáil in the budget? Did you not want to oppose what would be quite a popular measure among young first-time buyers?
No, because they said, for example, in relation to this issue, when that was put to them, in relation to the cost of construction and addressing that issue, that they would have an independent assessment by the Housing Finance Agency in relation to that very factor and put that on the record.
Mm.
Now, as usual, their commitment has been, and the rhetoric hasn't been matched by action, and we haven't seen that completed yet. And in the absence of that being completed, these measures couldn't be put in place. So we're saying, for God's sake, get on with the job. For God's sake, put that in the public domain. Allow the Dáil be in a position in order to make recommendations that can allow emergency and urgent legislation, if necessary, but put it in place in order to address the supply measures. You know, I hear, for example, earlier talking about fire inspections and 26 being carried out this year. And in light of what happened in London, of course, this is a pivotal matter as well. And again, you know, I've been talking to local authorities to tell me there are HAP schemes throughout the country whereby local authorities haven't yet been in a position to inspect these properties to make sure that they're suitable.
Okay.
There's HAP measures, but your own, Shane, you know, there's housing assistance payment measures that are in place for the homeless that were put in place in February 16. 1,500 people went on the scheme from a homeless situation. Only three of them have been adequately housed with permanent solutions.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
The government have bamboozled you with figures and with statistics
yeah.
to say that there's progress. And on the ground, the message is,
okay.
me and my colleagues around the country, that there's no such
Just very briefly, because we are out of time, I just want to ask you, we haven't had a chance to talk to you on the show since the new government came in. Were you surprised that your opposite number, Simon Coveney, decided to move on from housing just a year into the job? Were you surprised by that? Were you disappointed by that?
I was surprised, given the commitment, given the eagerness with which he entered into the job and the willingness he had and the effort that he has supposedly made in order to bring about credible solutions and to make progress in this area. And now we have a new minister who wants a few months to read into his brief, who wants 3 months to review a plan that is simply not working because it's not the implementation is not, the urgency is not there. And I don't think we have the time or space in order to wait for that. And I am saying to him to listen to reason in relation, as I said, to more professional qualified than I, apart from I, making the same sort of suggestion that he would take these on board on foot of the fact that his predecessor and others disregarded those and now realise that they're inevitable, that they have to be done.
Okay, Barry Cowan, Fianna Fáil's housing spokesperson, thanks indeed for talking to us this morning.
The time now is 8:17. You're listening to News Talk Breakfast with Shane Coleman and Ciara Kelly. Lots of you getting involved in that item we were talking about earlier about the rejection of the 22-storey tall building. I wouldn't say skyscraper in Dublin there recently. Someone says here, would you live on the 22nd floor? I definitely agree with the decision to reject. I'd love to live on the 22nd floor. I'd say the views
Great
are incredible.
Views.
And someone else says, why are developers not granted permission based on price of houses at the time of planning? That way they can't up the prices. Most developments just up demand on interest, make them sell at original price. And that's from Jim. Mm. Jim, the difficulty is you're trying to tweak that market. Every time we tweak it, it seems to go further
we
wrong.
We don't live in a communist country. You can't set the prices of houses. You just can't.
But also, these kind of sort of regulations and tweakings don't seem to have any. And look at what we're talking about now, the Help to Buy scheme. And someone else has here, we need to wise up and build up. They're agreeing with us, Shane, I think.
Okay, 19 minutes past 8 on News Talk Breakfast. Staying with matters budgetary now, the USE was once described by the OECD as a key part to Ireland having the most progressive tax system in Europe. But now the controversial charge looks set to be cut. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar saying his first budget would have a significant emphasis on cutting USE. To discuss this, we're joined by Dan O'Brien, economist with the Irish Independent. Dan, is the government right to be focusing on USE rather than, for example, the issue of people paying the top rate of tax, as I think when they hit €34,000? Is it the right focus?
Well, look, Shane, that's a matter of opinion. As an economist, I just sort of put out some of the basic facts here, and some of the basic facts are that, you know, the amount of money the government is taking in has been growing, has fallen, fell very sharply last year. The total amount it took in over the year grew at just 3.5%. Now, that's way, way below the sort of rates of growth we were getting back in the Celtic Tiger era, and doesn't tally really with very strong economic growth. And there's a bit of a conundrum about that amongst economists, why revenues are growing quite slowly. But the bigger budgetary picture is that if the amount of money the government is taking in is growing at a slow pace, and the officials in the Department of Finance expect it to grow at a slow pace again this year and again next year, you don't have an awful lot of scope for tax cuts of any kind.
So dangerous to be talking about cutting tax at all, do you think?
Well, look, we're 10 years into the government spending more week in, week out, month in, month out than it's taking in. And we have a massive public debt. And if you get into trouble, if the economy slows down, if there's a hit from Brexit, very quickly we could be back into trouble again. And nobody wants to see a return to austerity. But if you're running a very fine line in your budget and you've got a huge debt, if something goes wrong, the government has to slam the brakes on. That's nobody wants that. So the more the government now cuts taxes and increases spending and widens its deficit, the riskier the position it puts itself in if the economy slows or we get an external shock.
I'm curious, Dan, because you would have worked extensively across Europe. Do other countries do what we seem to do all the time, which is we're constantly changing our taxes, our tax rates, and so on? In boom times, we cut taxes, and then there's a fiscal crisis, and then we ramp up taxes again. And we never seem to go 1 year with just saying, you know what, let's leave things as they are. I mean, does Germany do it that way? Does Italy do it that way? Are we unique in that, or is it the norm across Europe?
We certainly have done more than other countries, and particularly more than small open economies, because when you're a small open economy, you can, you know, if you're a big economy like Germany, it tends to be like a big super tanker. You know, you're not as buffeted by the seas. But if you're a small little boat bobbing along as we are, you can be pushed around much more easily. So smaller countries, say the northern European countries, in the good times, they tend to run a surplus. So the government takes in more than it spends, which gives it leeway then if the economy slows, they don't need to slam the brakes on. Now, we've never done that. What we tend to do over decades is in the good times we party, tax cuts, spending yeah. increases, and then we have nothing in reserve in the bad times.
For the hangover.
And that just makes the hangover even worse. So this is what we call pro-cyclical fiscal policy. Sorry, this is just, in other words, you amplify the ups and you amplify the downs. Government should be trying to smooth it out, make people's lives more secure. It should be squirreling away in the good times so that it's got some in reserve to pump into the economy in the bad times and smooth things out. That way people's lives are more secure and less disrupted. We have not been good at that in this country. We have tended to, government has tended to amplify the upside and then amplify the downside with austerity when things go wrong.
Final question, just specifically on USE. We were running a Twitter poll on this on the show today. Two-thirds of people saying cut USE, a third of people saying not. Is there a bit of a danger about people calling for USE to be cut, needing to be, I suppose, careful what they wish for, but not realising that if USE is cut, there need to be compensatory tax increases, and that they may be the ones footing the bill for that? And it actually, for example, for middle earners and higher earners, cutting USE might actually result in them ultimately paying more tax.
Well, it very much depends on, even in the short term. So if the government were to increase, say, VAT to compensate for the cut in USC, then overall, how much of a difference is there in the amount of money that people actually give to the government? It may not balance out. If the government decides to increase the deficit in the short term to fund the tax cut, then people will pay those taxes further down the line. So, you know, there's no free lunch is the short answer to it all.
Okay, Dan O'Brien, economist with the Irish Independent. Thanks indeed for talking to us this morning.
News Talk Breakfast, in association with AIR, supporting your business on our mobile network right across Ireland.